Mark chapter 5. Go to Mark. Look, Mark. Hey, buy your camp t-shirts. These are camp t-shirts, a mark for eternity. They are sick. If you don't like them, you better. They're ridiculous. They're only $10. Okay, that's a good price for a t-shirt. We also have sweet hoodies. Anybody wearing a hoodie? It's a sweatshirt with a hood on the back. You're wearing a hoodie, but it's not the camp hoodie. We have GM hoodies, right? They're blue. You've probably seen me wear them before. They got white strands. They're awesome. We're also selling those. They're $30. If you buy them both, they're $35. Ooh, discount. Everybody likes a discount. 30 plus 10 would be 40. We're giving them to you for 35. Got it? $5? Together. All right. Well, let's get into the word. Mark 5, chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus went with him. Who's him?
God. He went with God.
No, he went with, you wouldn't actually know this unless you read back. He went with Jairus. Jairus was a local synagogue leader, right? So he's walking with this man, and he is about to go heal his daughter. His daughter's really sick, so Jesus is on his way to heal somebody. And all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. Yeah, it's pretty gross. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him, through the crowd, and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I could just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out of him, so he turned around to the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples looked at him like he was crazy. Look at this crowd pressing around you. How could you ask who touched you? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, for your suffering is over." Pretty awesome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for each young person in this room, Lord, that you were speaking to their hearts and to our hearts. Father, I thank you that you are always, always speaking to us, God, that you love us, you care for us. And God, tonight I pray that we would receive your word, God, that we would grow in you, and we would continue to pursue you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you don't know me, you should. I'm pretty awesome. No, I have a ridiculously awesome family. They're running around here somewhere. I have a beautiful wife that I don't deserve, but she's awesome. And she loves me anyways. She's around here somewhere doing something, getting ready for GM camp. And then I've got two amazing little kids. If you haven't seen them, one of them was running up on the stage, so you probably saw her. And the other one is being held because he's only 5 months and doesn't walk yet. I don't know why. 5 months, come on, that's a long time. I learned how to walk in that time. Oh, I thought I saw him over there. That's Dax. What's up, dude? Yeah, it looks a lot like him. So my daughter, her name is Olivia. And my son, his name is Cohen. Now, Cohen is an awesome little baby. Now, 5 months, there isn't a whole lot that you can... How many of you have had kids? Okay, good. None of you. Be honest. This is church. Just kidding. But kids are such an amazing joy. They're stressful at times. But they are amazing. They are so just so phenomenal. I love raising kids. I love seeing the personalities come out of them. Almost said Josiah. That's his middle name. Cohen, we named him after you, Josiah. Just kidding. Cohen, again, he's only 5 months old, but you can see this personality coming out of him at that age. He's always happy. Always. He's like constantly smiling. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but every time I see a baby or I hold a baby, the first thing I try to do is what? Make it smile. Come on. Everybody wants to make a baby smile. I don't know why. Did I say it? I said him. You don't know. I want to make him my baby boy. I meant it as in any baby. Whatever. Digging a hole. Right? I try my hardest to make that little baby, almost said cry, smile. Right? All of you are probably the same way. There's some kind of satisfaction you get out of making a little baby smile. You're like, yeah, I did that. I made him smile. Right? Even if you're terrified of babies. Grant, he's terrified of babies. You think you might break the baby? Right? Even you could make my baby smile. Because he just loves people. He loves to smile. He always has a good attitude, except when he's screaming all night. But that hardly ever happens. But it did the other night. You're welcome, Teal. Teal is Mariah's brother. It's my brother-in-law right there. He was sleeping on the couch as Cohen was crying all night. It was fun. It was a good experience. It grew him. It grew us all. But most of the time, he's smiling. And I love that you can see this even at a young age. You can see his personality. In the same way with my daughter. My daughter, Olivia, if you haven't really met her or spent any time with her, she's awesome and crazy and really, really awesome. She is beautiful. She's intelligent. Like, she is smart. She picks up on things. Like, she knows the mood of people around her. Like, she can figure out how you're feeling. And you don't even know how you're feeling yet, but she knows. Come up to you. Daddy, are you okay? Daddy, are you sad? Daddy, you want to play with me? She's adorable. She's so cute. But there's so much inside of her, and she's only three. And she's already figuring all these things out. And one thing that I love about her is she's fearless. Anything that she sees, she wants to climb it. Now, she's not the toughest girl in the world. She gets hurt often. But she's still fearless. She still goes after it. She's still going to try to climb something. Even when she was just a couple months old. No, I'm kidding. She's a little bit older than that. She was like almost a year. Right when she started walking, she was already climbing on things, climbing on the back of the chair, climbing on the couch. And she, anytime she'd see some kind of pole, some kind of thing that hung about this high, she would grab onto it and she would dangle from it. She'd pick up her knees and she'd just start swinging. It's awesome. And she still does it and she's 3 years old. Anything that she can grab a hold of, she'll just start swinging. It's really cool to see, but terrifying as a parent. Because you think she's going to flip backwards, smash her head, crack her head open. Maybe I'm just super paranoid. But this is what I see every time I see her start swinging. And it doesn't matter how heavy this thing is, how light it is, she'll swing from it. You know those little things that you stand in the line and it goes across? You know what I'm talking about? The little rope thingies. She hangs off of those. Some of them are super lightweight, but she doesn't care. She starts hanging off of them. And I'll like grab onto them and hold them so that she doesn't break the thing. She dangles off of everything. So we go to the park. She loves the park. She'll climb up everything. And then at the top of the slide, there's always, well, there's usually some kind of pole at the top, some kind of bar, right? So you hold on to it and then you slide down, right? Well, she likes to hold on to it, even if it's 15 feet in the air, and start dangling from the top of it, swinging back and forth. Now, if you're like me, you picture the worst. She swings. She almost backflips. She lands on her neck. She cracks her neck open. She rolls forward. She smashes her face onto the floor. And then she's a goner. Well, that's what I picture. That's what I think is going to happen because I think the worst is going to happen. But it doesn't happen. She's really strong. She's got a tight little kung fu grip. It just hangs onto that thing. And it's never happened before. But the girl is fearless. And I don't want to crush her with reality and tell her, look, Olivia, if you keep doing that, you're going to split your head open and blood's going to go everywhere and you're going to die. Right? I'm not going to tell her that. I want her to keep that fearlessness. I want her to keep that a little bit of recklessness. Right? I want her to keep Maybe she's a little naive of what could happen. I want her to keep that, though. I want her to know that I'm going to be there and I'm going to protect her. So I'm close enough that if she falls, I will dive over the top of it, catch her, just like you guys see Fast and the Furious, like, 6, where Vin Diesel, like, jumps across the bridge and catches the girl and flies over to the other side and lands on the car. I imagine how I would do that. Probably wouldn't work the same way. But I can imagine. And so I'm always close enough that I'm not hovering over her, but in case she slips, I'm going to be there and I'm going to catch her. Right? And she has this faith and this fearlessness that it doesn't matter how high it is. She doesn't see that it's dangerous. She sees it as something fun. She has so much faith. And so many kids are like that. They have this faith. It's also a little naive, for sure, because they haven't experienced the pain of it. Right? A lot of kids can go up and they can grab a curling iron with their hand full bore before realizing that it's hot. And then their hands are burned. Right? Because they're a little naive because they haven't figured that out. It hasn't had an experience about it yet. But in a way, I want her to be able to experience those things because she has this faith and this imagination and this greatness behind her, this fearlessness inside of her. And I want to keep that inside of her and support that in her. And I love most every night. And again, this is the kind of faith that she has, that a lot of children have. Every night before we go to bed, and she knows who Jesus is. We've described to her Jesus. And we ask her where Jesus lives, and she says, in my heart. Right? It's so cute. She's a little kid, and she thinks that Jesus, whoever Jesus is, lives in my heart. Now, she doesn't question the fact that how can a human or a being sit inside of somebody's heart? It's got to be a tiny little person. Right? She doesn't think this through. She doesn't think logically. She just thinks in faith. Yeah, Jesus lives inside of me. Jesus lives in my heart. And she knows when she's scared, she can call for Jesus. So every night before we leave, we tuck her in, we kiss her, we go and we leave. And she says, I'll call for Jesus or mommy or daddy if I get scared. Every time. It's so cute. I love it. Because she knows that Jesus can bring her comfort. Now, again, she doesn't completely understand who Jesus is. She's 3. She barely understands who I am. She calls me mommy half the time. I'm just kidding. But seriously, she does call me mommy. I'm like a mom to her. So I'll skip that part. But she has this faith in Jesus. She has this faith that it doesn't matter if it fully makes sense to her, she's going to believe it. In the same way, how fearless she is on the swinging bars, she has this faith that it's going to keep her up. Or if it doesn't, daddy's going to be there and he's going to catch her. Or mom is going to be there and she's going to catch her. And she doesn't worry about it. She doesn't have a fear about it. She doesn't worry that something might go terribly wrong. She doesn't have the mental picture of something bad happening and her getting hurt. She doesn't have that picture that I have of her flipping backwards and landing on her neck and dying. She doesn't have that. She's fearless. And I love that about her. And I love that she lives in faith. She has a great imagination. And it's so much that I admire about her that I want to keep in my life of having that faith of something that doesn't completely make sense, but believing in faith in your heart that it does, that it's there, that it's real. She believes and she knows that that Jesus is real. I'm not saying that she's saved. She's 3 years old. Who really knows? She doesn't always talk about Jesus. She's talks about other things too. Monsters and stuff like that. But she has this faith inside of her. And as we grow older, you know, most of us are like this as kids. We have this faith. We believe. Mostly she believes because we've told her about Jesus. Right? And so we can believe these things as a kid, like in the Tooth Fairy. Which is real, right? Yeah, absolutely. If I lose a tooth, I expect back some money. Because I'm going to be paying a lot of money to get it fixed. Right? They have this faith to them, but as they grow older and as we grow older, we start to realize the reality of the world. We start to realize the reality of gravity. That when we let go of a pole, we are coming down. And it's gonna hurt. Right? We start to have this realization of what is realistic. We have these expectations that are so big as a child. But it starts to minimalize as we start to experience life and we start to go through difficult situations. Right? As a child, you probably think that everybody is perfect. And then you start to grow up and you start to see that there is brokenness in this world and that not everybody and that not anybody is perfect. And we start to get hurt by each other and we start to get hurt by our parents, our families. Right? We start to get hurt by the people that are close to us, and we start to have these pains in our hearts. We start to have these abandonment issues and rejection issues and fears that start to creep in. And that faith and that belief that was so easy as a child becomes harder as an adult as we grow up. Because we're faced with all the troubles and all the trials and all these things that we go through at school and that we go through with peer pressures. Right? And it makes it more difficult to have that same kind of faith. Right? We start struggling with all these other things that are going on in our life, all these other fears that start to creep in inside of us, things that start becoming realistic to us. See, anything is realistic as a child. Olivia thinks that she lives in a castle. She doesn't. If you've seen my house, it's not a castle. But to her, it's a castle. It's amazing. It's perfect. But see, when you start to get older, you start to realize that things aren't always as perfect as we imagined. And we tend to stop having that same kind of faith. We start to lose faith in things. And we start to try and figure out how we can do it on our own. And we start putting up walls because we've been broken. We've been hurt. And we start putting up ways to protect us from not getting hurt again and trying to figure it all out on our own. And see, when we look at this woman who was bleeding for 12 years, she had this disease that was causing her to bleed constantly. Constantly bleeding for 12 years. That sounds awful. Painful. This woman was seen by the people around her as unclean. Obviously because she was bleeding all over the place. And it wasn't like you get a little bloody nose. Right? She had this constant bleeding and it could not be healed. She had gone everywhere and tried to figure out how to find healing. She did everything in her own strength. She did everything in the doctor's strength. She spent all of her money searching for how do I get fixed? How do I find healing? How can I be whole again and healed? And see, when people and this time were seen as unclean, they literally outcasted them, right? Like the lepers had their own little community. If you had leprosy, you were in the community with other lepers, and that's all you hung out with. You weren't allowed to hang out with other people because you were seen as unclean. They didn't know what would happen. If they touched you, they might become unclean as well. And so she probably didn't have the friends that she used to have. Right? She probably didn't have the close-knit family that she used to have. She's probably depressed and sad because she could not find healing in everything that she tried on her own strength and everybody else's around her. She could not find this healing. There was brokenness inside of her. And reality started to sink into her that she was not going to get healed. And probably believing that in her heart from there on out, that she couldn't get healed. You know, at the beginning of the process, she probably thought she could. She probably had some faith. But it all went away as reality struck. 12 years of not getting healed, you probably would lose a little bit of hope. Am I right? So she's probably discouraged, angry, sad that she's not going to find this healing. She's not going to be ever the same that she was. And just starting to live in the reality of this is how it's going to be. It's not realistic for me to get healed. But then she heard of this man named Jesus. And Jesus was going around and he was healing people. He'd lay his hand on somebody and they would get healed. He would speak to somebody and they'd get healed. He was going around loving the people that looked unlovely. He would go out and he would touch the lepers that people were not supposed to even look at, let alone touch. And he was caring for them. He was setting them free. And she started to get this joy in her heart. She started to get this excitement. She started to get hope again. No matter how big the reality was sinking in before that she was not going to find hope, that she was not going to find healing, all of that reality started to go away and she found hope again. And in that moment, she saw Jesus and she knew in her heart, right? The Bible says that she knew, not that she thought. She knew, if only I touch his robe. Just like that. Right? If only I touch a piece of what he's wearing. If only I smell the dust that is coming off of his sandals and taste a little bit of it. If only I could get a little drop of his sweat. If only I can have a tiny little piece of the robe. I don't even need to touch Jesus. If only I just touch the robe, I know that I'll find healing. She knew it. All of that faith came back. All of that faith that she probably had as a child, that we had as children, came back to her in that moment she believed. In the same way that Olivia believes that she can swing up and down and back and forth on anything that she wants to and not get hurt. She had this childlike faith and belief that she could run to Jesus and just touch the robe and she'd be healed. Look, this is after 12 years of realizing that she was never going to get healed again. This is 12 years of trying her best, and every doctor, all hope was gone in that moment until she found Jesus, until she knew of this healer, and she ran after him and jumped at him and dove forward. Okay, it doesn't say that. But she ran after him just to touch a little piece of his robe, and instantly she was healed. Instantly the bleeding stopped. Instantly she found that freedom. Instantly she was set free because she had faith that if she just ran after him and touched that robe, she'd be healed. Faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. She could not see this happening. Everything was pointing her towards it not working out. But she believed anyways. And she had faith anyways. And she ran towards Jesus anyways. Even though everything else didn't work out, she ran towards Jesus. And she was confident in the fact, if only I touch him, I'll be healed. All I have to touch is the robe, and I'll be healed. She had this expectation that if I run towards Jesus, he will heal me. And that's what God wants each one of us to have, that expectation that when I run to Jesus, even though everything else in my life might not work, right? Even though I have realized things in my life and this reality has hit in that not everybody is perfect and that I have wounds and that I have injuries and that I have fears. And there are serious issues that happen in this world. And beyond all of that, I can still believe and know that I can expect Jesus to grab a hold of me and to heal that brokenness and to stop that bleeding. Each one of us are like the bleeding woman. In some way, we're bleeding. Most likely not physically. Blood is staying inside your skin. That's nice. Keep it that way, especially at camp. Right? But in some way, we have something that is weighing us down, that is holding us back, that is burdening us, that we're carrying around, that we haven't shared, that we've been broken and we've been hurt on the inside, whether it be from a family member or from a friend, whether you felt rejection, you felt that you were abandoned, You feel fearful of what other people think. We all can relate to this woman who's tried everything to find that healing. You know, a lot of people, we don't receive love in the way that we deserve it. And so we go out and we try and find it through relationships, through other people. We try to find that love. Right? We found some kind of brokenness and had some kind of brokenness in our life. And we try to go from relationship to relationship, boyfriend to boyfriend, girlfriend to girlfriend, looking for that love, looking for that exception, looking for somebody to care and to fill that void. And just like the bleeding woman, we go from place to place to try and find healing. But it never works. And it actually gets worse the entire time. And the only cure and the only way to stop that bleeding is when we run to Jesus. When you run towards Him and expect that He's going to change something in your life. We're having a camp here this weekend. And every year at our camps, people get saved. People get set free of brokenness, of bondage, of things that they've held on to for years, of these hurts and wounds that have been imparted inside of them that they just haven't wanted to let go of. And probably a lot of us are in that same place where there's something, some kind of hurt, some kind of pain that you've held on to. And when we run to Jesus in expectation, in belief, in faith, in knowing, even though we can't actually see Jesus, we believe that He's real. We know that He heals. We know that He's our Savior, that He set us free. When we run in expectation to Him, He stops that bleeding. He heals you. He brings healing to your brokenness. He brings peace to your relationships. He heals that heart that's been broken for so long. But we have to run to Him in expectation. See, when this woman ran to Him, Jesus stopped, He looked around, and He said, "Who just touched me?" His disciples are like, "Dude, everybody touched you. Are you kidding me? You have a little kid hanging on your leg. There's people everywhere. Everybody's touching you. We're in a crowd. Everybody's touching you." He said, "No, this is different. Somebody purposely went after me, wanted something, expecting something, and came after me. Who was it?" Now, Jesus, we know Jesus is God, right? He's 100% God, 100% man. He knew who this person was. But He still asks, "Who touched me?" He wants this woman to come forward. He wants to know what is going on in this woman's mind. And so she comes forward and she knows that she's caught and she falls to her knees and she says, "Jesus, it was me. I ran after you. I've been bleeding for 12 years. I've been searching and searching for something to cure it, for something to heal it, for something to take it away, and it's never happened. And I'm losing hope and I was losing faith. Then I heard of you and I ran after you and I knew if only I touched your robe, I'd be healed." And I love how He responds. He says, "Daughter." Now, we don't know how old this woman was, but Jesus isn't very old. Could be the same age. Could be older. Says, "Daughter." See, Jesus, right? He's God. He created her. She was His daughter. And He said, and He looked in love and eyes of love, probably looked right into her eyes and was close to her like other people hadn't been before. It says it's your faith that healed you. It's by your faith and your belief, you running to me in that way, that's what just set you free. That's what made you healed. And then He says this. He says, "Go in peace." You know, this woman probably hadn't experienced peace in 12 years. Probably distress, discomfort, pain, anger, frustration, doubt, worry, probably everything negative that you could imagine, but probably not peace. And He says, "Go in peace." Basically telling her, you can now have peace. And He says, "Your suffering is over. Your suffering is over." when we run to Jesus with expectation that he's going to heal our brokenness, that he's going to heal those wounds, that he can do something in our hearts, that he can do something through you. When you come to him and you run to him with that expectation and that faith, just like a child running to her daddy, when you run to Jesus in that, he sets you free. He gives you peace. He takes away that suffering. Because Jesus loves his children and he wants to bless you. And I encourage you this weekend when you go out to camp, and I encourage you even right now and tonight, that you start setting your expectation on that, that I'm running to Jesus. I'm broken. I'm hurt. I'm wounded. I need a healer. I need Jesus. I need what he has for me, and I'm going to run to him. I'm going to run after it. Even if it's just a little piece of the robe, I'm running after it to grab it. That we all run to him in expectation this week. And God is going to blow your mind. Whether you are a camper, whether you're a cabin leader, a co-cabin leader, a work crew person, each one of us can run to Jesus in our brokenness. And he stops that bleeding. He stops that agony and that pain. Now, it's not to say that every time we run to Jesus, we're perfect afterwards. We know that's not true. We know there's still pain, there's still suffering. But this woman hadn't experienced peace before. And even in any suffering that she was going to encounter, he said, you can go and have peace in it. We'll still experience suffering, we'll still have pain, but we can go in peace and the joy that Jesus is living inside of us and that is he is for us. And there is nothing that is impossible in him. We need to change our reality and go back to how we were as children. Back to the way that Olivia is when she believes that Jesus lives in her heart and that when she's scared, he can bring her comfort. That when she's swinging at the top of that pole, she knows that her daddy's going to catch her or she's going to be fine. That we don't allow that reality and those hurts that we've had stop us from running to Jesus. Will you stand with me? Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. He makes a new reality, right? Faith is believing something you have not seen happen before. So we have to, as his children, run to him in faith, believing, even though we haven't seen it happen before, that he can heal us. And that's my heart for you for this weekend coming up at camp, that you set your expectations high. You expect him to blow your stinking mind. You expect that he's going to do something so amazing inside of you that you're going to start convulsing and freaking out in a good way, not in a bad way. Right? That you're not even going to be able to contain it and hold it in. That he's going to do something so amazing through you that you're going to be prophesying over people. You're going to be laying your hands on people. You're going to have this boldness inside of you, this courageousness that you're not afraid of yelling out the name of Jesus. Set your expectations high and run to him, and he is going to provide for you. I promise you, when you set your expectation on him, he's always going to meet it and go beyond it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that you are for us and not against us. God, if you are for us, then who could be against us? God, we come to you in faith like children, running to their father, believing that you can heal us, you can set us free. God, we're setting our expectations high for this camp, believing that you have an amazing plan for us. God, it goes beyond our understanding, and that you can give us peace and comfort and love and a desire to passionately seek after you. God, we love you. We expect great things and ask that you would just blow our minds at this camp this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, I love you guys so much. Thanks for being here.